It's time for the scripture readings from the book of Hosea that the sermon series has been on. And so there are two passages, Hosea 4, 1-7, and Hosea 14, 1-9. And they are in the New Living Translation, so you will have to follow up on the screen rather than in the pew Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is in mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are disappearing. Don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. My complaint, you priests, is with you. So you will stumble in broad daylight, and your false prophets will fail with you in the night. And I will destroy Israel, your mother. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priests. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children. The more priests there are, the more they sin against me. They have exchanged the glory of God for the shame of idols. And now to Hosea 14, verses 1-9. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you our praises. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, and my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade. They will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise, understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Last week, we celebrated Canada Day. This past week in the United States, they celebrated the 4th of July. In both our countries, during these celebrations, when we sing our national anthems, we ask for God's blessing on our nation. We sing, God keep our land glorious and free. But can God truly bless our nations when we have turned from Him? Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But is He Lord? This is a question that we can ask in regards to our nation, but maybe more importantly, a question that we need to ask ourselves individually. What do we currently see as we look at the world about us? Britain pulling out of the European Union, not knowing what effect this is going to have on us. Last weekend, suicide attackers launched 3 strikes in Saudi Arabia. The Zika virus that began in Uganda now, according to the World Health Organization, is a global public health emergency. And authorities are now warning that Mexican drug cartels currently pose a greater threat to the Americans than ISIS. We often say, what a small world. It is so true. We are connected and impacted by what goes on in other countries. Impacted commercially, politically, financially, and morally. Just think of postmodernism. This worldview shift of postmodernism that began in Europe has greatly impacted us. Its central thesis is that truth is personal and subjective. As a result, there can be no objective moral standard on issues. Issues ranging from abortion to euthanasia. I remember years ago discussing, you know, the topic of abortion, and one of the arguments in favor was, you know, for someone that had been raped. And just this past week, a friend of mine posted on Facebook a picture of someone with whom he is connected that was raped and then decided to keep the child. And there was this sweet picture of this girl with this child and the comment of how she had no regret. With no moral guidelines, it seems that everything these days is in play. Of late, we see a support for polygamy is quickly rising. Genetic engineering is on the horizon, and virtual reality pornography is here. As was read in Hosea 4, 1-2, there was no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land, only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. Sounds pretty familiar to what we see these days. Suicide bombs, killing of police officers, hatred, politicians lying, people cheating, spouses unfaithful. We are not that far away from what was going on in Hosea's time. As God's spokesperson, Hosea speaks out regarding the sin that was occurring. The nation had turned from God, no longer trusting him for his guidance and his protection. Instead, they were looking to political alliances for salvation, and they had begun worshiping pagan gods. Many had accepted the Canaanite social and religious worldviews, blending their relationship with God with Baal worship. They thought that they could worship God and participate in the worship of Baal at the same time. A mixing and a merging of one religion with another is referred to as religious syncretism. Syncretism is the combining of different beliefs, blending practices and thoughts. In this mixture of worshiping Yahweh and Baal, they were not remaining faithful to God and to him alone. They were, in essence, prostituting themselves. And as I mentioned last Sunday, worship of Baal, of course, is not an issue for us today. But we need to ask, how have we synthesized the popular ideas of our day into our faith? In the New Testament, James warns his hearers about the dangers of syncretizing their faith with the culture of the day. And he writes, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God?" And then Paul also warned the Corinthian believers about accepting the belief and the standards of their culture. When we turn from commitment to God, not pursuing an intimate relationship with him, we can end up following the practices around us, doing whatever seems culturally or socially acceptable. In Hosea's day, that meant following those things that were done in the Baal worship services. And that included excessive drinking, idol worship, prostitution, and sacrifice to other gods. And we can maybe question, well, how could these Israelites get to the place of doing all these things? But this is what was going on around them. And it was probably just a slow drift to seeing those things as being okay. We too are faced with this danger. The message that we hear today within our culture is one of pluralism, that people can just do their own thing, that everyone then is just be accepting. And it rejects anything as being sinful. But when we choose to be one of Christ's followers, we are called to a different standard, one that does present limitations. Gary Smith makes this astute comment. The problem of unfaithfulness to God arises not because of the differences between cultures, but because of the misperceptions of God and His will for people within each culture. And he goes on to say that, although believers in the church may confess their belief in the sovereignty of God over their souls after death, all too often they act as if God actually has no role in discerning what will happen today or tomorrow. Hosea spoke to the Israelites about the true nature of sin, helping them realize that God took these sins seriously and that there were consequences. We have to take a look at where we stand. Do we adjust Scripture to make it more popular, giving into the authority of our culture, believing that what is culturally normative must then be theologically acceptable? It isn't easy. But as we see here in Hosea, syncretism is serious. Hosea's message challenges us to question, is the message that I am getting from this article, from this news story, from this song that I hear on the radio, one that I can accept? Or is it contrary to what the Bible says about God? We need to be willing to ask, are we blind to our prostitutions of the faith, as the Israelites were in Hosea's day? It is not that we are to withdraw from the world, but rather it's paying attention, understanding the difficulty of knowing how to remain faithful to God in the midst of a world that just wants to twist truth. We have to look at the choices we make. Are we wise? Do we understand the issues? Are we acquainted with what God has to say? Do we believe that God's ways are always best? And do we realize the results of rebelling against Him? The message contained in the book of Hosea should wake us up to the seriousness of sin, understanding that it is a betrayal of love, that sin damages the very roots of a relationship. We need to grasp the importance of deepening our understanding of repentance and renewal. And a word of caution must be added here, because we need to be careful that we do not judge others. Oswald Chambers warned, "You must constantly be aware of anything that causes you to think of yourself as a superior person." We need to be aware of any condescending spirit or any superiority or judgment. And unfortunately, this is what has happened at times, and that a person has been condemned along with the sin. But that is not what God does. And that's what we see here in Hosea. And that is not what we are to do. Ephesians 4:31-32 tells us, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." We can genuinely value and respect an individual as the beloved creation of God, while also refusing to accept sin as permissible. And as I noted last week, God loves these people despite their blatant unfaithfulness. Four times in the opening of Hosea, he speaks of this love, paired with how Israel has forsaken him. The structure of the final message in chapter 14 is a call to repentance, God's promise of restoration, and an exhortation to choose wisely. Hosea exhorts the people to repent, to turn from their sins to God. It's sin that's brought their downfall. And Hosea pictures God coming, restoring them as dew that brings life, giving moisture to dry plant life. The picture of fruitfulness of the nations are pictures of God's faithfulness and blessings on the nations. Instead of bringing drought to the earth, God will lovingly return his people the covenant blessing that he promised long ago. Hosea is not suggesting that good works will earn any kind of relationship to God. Rather, it's as they turn from these things that they will be able to come to God with a heart of joy, receiving his blessings. We come to God through repentance. Repentance involves a turning to God and a turning away from sin. It's turning to enjoy God's blessings. Repentance is not trying to bribe or appease God. It's also not a feeling of sorrow or shame. It's genuinely turning from a life of sin to living for God. Repentance in this day and age is not a popular theme. It goes against how the culture just wants to downplay any kind of sin, making light of it. And I bet if we're to be honest, we probably think, well, we don't want to really turn and follow God's ways. Because we think, well, we can do a better job. We can do a better job of directing our lives than he can. We're self-sufficient, self-directed, self-motivated, self-assured. And we think we can handle our life and make our own choices. Looking to other things and people to cope with life. But in doing so, we really replace God. And it seems that the pendulum has shifted from a call to repentance to a total avoiding of the subject. Repentance probably has a really bad press these days because in the past it was often used to beat people over the head. There were a lot of negative attacks. Preachers were presenting more of the bad news of the gospel rather than the good news. A constant reminder of failures, that is not helpful. And I think we can then have this sense of, you know, who am I, or that God doesn't love me, that we are hopeless and unworthy. But that is not the message here. Repentance is not just a negative theme of rejecting or turning from, but it's a positive theme of turning toward. Haddon Robinson, as he preaches on Hosea, he recalls the story of a young man who lived in Chicago and then went to Kentucky, where he met and he fell in love with a young woman whom he married and then he brought back to Chicago. They enjoyed 3 lovely years of marriage. And then in the one day, in the middle of a sickness, in the seizure of pain, the young woman lost her mind. Robinson commented how when she was at her best, she was a bit demented. At her worst, she would scream and neighbors complained because the screams would just cut the air and was hard to live with. And so the young businessman left his home in the middle of Chicago and went out to the western suburbs and built a house, determined that there he would try to nurse his wife back to health and sanity again. And one day the family physician suggested that perhaps if he were to take his wife back to Kentucky, that something there in those family surroundings that might help her restore her sanity. And so they went back to the old homestead. Hand in hand, they walked through the old house where memories hung on every corner. They went down to the garden and walked down by the riverside where the first cowslips and violets were in bloom. But after several days, nothing seemed to happen. So defeated and discouraged, the young man put his wife back in the car and they headed back to Chicago. When they got close to the house, he looked over and discovered that his wife was asleep. It was the first deep, restful sleep that she had had in many weeks. When he got to the house, he lifted her from the car, took her inside and placed her on the bed, and realized that she wanted to sleep some more. So we placed a cover over her and then just sat by her side and watched her through the midnight hour. Watched until the first rays of the sun reached through the curtain and touched her face. The young woman awoke, and as she saw her husband seated by her side, she said, "I seem to have been on a long journey. Where have you been?" And that man, speaking out of days and weeks and months of patient waiting and watching, said, "My sweetheart, I have been here waiting for you all this time." Robinson went on to make the connection that no matter where we are, God is there. He is right here speaking to you again. Right here waiting for you to respond with love, to love. Waiting for you to respond with trust, to promise. Waiting for you to cast yourself in reckless abandon upon the grace of God. And waiting for you to discover the depth of your experience, what it means to be loved by God, according to the love that he demonstrated through the prophet Hosea. We can wander, but God is there waiting for us to return to him. The word return is echoed through this final chapter of Hosea. Turn, for in front of you is destruction. Behind you is God. It's a turning to the light. A lesson from this story that comes to us is God saying, "I've redeemed you. I have brought you to myself. And I now ask that you live with me and for me in faithfulness." His love is offered freely. His love is unearned. It's a free expression of his commitment and care for us. God does not love us because of what we do. He loves us in spite of what we do. God could not love you more than he does right now. You stand beneath the cross. Jesus died for you, bringing forgiveness, offering life in him. And we are to turn, to repent to that love, to that grace, and respond to him with love and worship, faithfulness. The book of Hosea ends saying, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall." Let's pray. Lord, I realize this is a difficult message. There is part of us, part of this that is truly hard to hear. And it seems that these days we tend to avoid talking about sin and repentance. But we need to see that this is really life-giving and leads us to blessings from you. Lord, thank you for Hosea, not only for his courage to speak the truth, but for the living example that he provided. The book urges us to respond wisely to your offer of love and your call to repentance. Lord, may we hear and heed these words. Return to you, and in doing so, find the blessing for which we long. May we truly surrender our lives to you. And Lord, I pray that this would not just be another sermon, and that all of us would just go from here this day, but that we would stop and that we would truly listen for how we need to turn to you. What are some places where we have compromised our faith? Lord, wake us up to those things, and may we turn to you, surrendering all of our lives back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.